This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Today, we're talking to Terry Hessler of Dayton, Ohio. We caught up with Terry on his way to Daytona Beach, where he's going to do a demonstration of the original Wright Flyer engine, or I guess I should say a replica of the original Wright Flyer engine at Embry-Riddle. Terry, this is quite a project. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in producing this replica.
I got involved in 2002. Helping Nick Engler with the 1903 Wright Flyer, or the first Flyer, to do a flight at Kitty Hawk in December 17th of 2003. And he brought the engine over, just a bare block, and some cast iron other parts for it, and gave me the prints from the Smithsonian. And then I started building the engine from the bare block and made all the parts pretty much by hand, the same way they did in 1903.
Now, you mentioned that those blueprints originally drawn up by Charlie Taylor, who was the original mechanic who built this engine, were fairly detailed but done from memory some 20 years after the fact for an exposition.
Yeah, it was Charles Taylor and Orville Wright. I believe it was 1928. They had to come up because Europe wanted them to bring the 1903 airplane to Europe. So they both sat down and tried to remember how the airplane and the engine went together, because there was no prints of any of either one.
So you kind of had to figure things out as you on the fly, I take it.
Yeah, because of the print of the airplane and the engine was going to be for display only, so they really didn't make the parts to run. They knew they weren't going to fly it, so it was pretty much for just a show plane. So some of the parts were made, out of material that was easy to work with, which we found out, because some of the ignition parts were made out of sheet metal, which didn't hold up, so we had to make them out of better steel than what the ignition parts were.
Now, this is a unique engine. It weighs about 180 pounds, produces around 17 horsepower. Is that correct?
Anywhere. It depends on the atmosphere outside. It could be anywhere from 12 to 17. It just depends what it is on the outside, because there's no carburation or no nothing with it. What it is what you get.
So it's a four-cylinder engine. It's an aluminum block. It has steel cylinder inserts, and it has the original, I think you said, had steel pistons, and you used automotive pistons for your engine.
Well, the originals were cast iron and pretty heavy. So, and, I just went with Chevrolet 4-inch pistons and lengthened my rods just a little bit to compensate for the difference of length in the pistons.
Now, what's really interesting about this engine to me is both the induction system and the ignition system. Let's talk a little bit about the ignition system. It's a point breaker system. Would you explain that for us?
Well, a point breaker system has a set of points in each cylinder inside the combustion chamber. This system does not have spark plugs. And the ignition system is actually run off of a camshaft, which sits beside each cylinder. As the cam rolls around, it catches a lever which closes the set of points inside the combustion chamber, and then when them points pop open, the ignition system goes through a coil, and when the points open, it breaks the electrical system in the coil, which causes a spark.
So it's a little hard to visualize, but we've got some kind of a rod or an activation device that actually goes into the cylinder to open mm-hmm. and close the points.
Yeah.
And where does the high voltage come from?
Well, the voltage comes from the way they started it is they started it off a battery to get the engine running. Then they had what they call back then was a low-tension mag, and actually it's just called about a 12-volt generator. And the generator produced 12 volts, which went into a coil, which dropped your amperage down to about 1.5 amps, but it threw your voltage up to about 350 amps. But that's when you closed the circuit. And when you broke the circuit, that 350 volts jumped across the points as the points opened. And that's where you got your spark.
That sounds similar to the generator on a crank telephone. Is it the same type of thing?
Pretty close. I guess, it probably would be.
Tell me a little bit about the induction system. This really doesn't have, obviously doesn't have fuel injection, but it doesn't really have a proper carburetor either.
Well, you probably could call it fuel injection because the gas tank hangs probably about maybe 2 foot above the engine, and all you got is an off and on valve. And you can regulate the fuel somewhat, but the fuel just dumps right into the manifold through a little steel hose.
No throttle, no mixture on this?
Nope. What we did, the print called for a 40-thousandths hole in the fuel line, and that's where the fuel comes out of, is a real small hole. And you can somewhat regulate the gas, but not much.
And what RPM does this run at, both at the flywheel and finally at the propellers, as the Wrights used it for the 03 Flyer?
The engine generally runs between anywhere from 800 to 1,000 RPMs, depending what the engine wanted to do. And they have generally a 3-to-1 ratio, which your props turn about 300 RPMs, because the props 7-foot diameter, and there's two of them.
By the way you've described this, it sounds like a kind of a persnickety engine to operate, is it?
It was at first for me, because I wasn't used to, I'm like used to a Chevrolet. You just go out and start it and drive. This engine, we had to work at a little bit, and I'm getting better at it. Really, all I have to do is just put a little bit of gas in it, crank it about two or three times by hand to get the gas into the cylinders, then turn the juice on, give it one good spin, and she fires right up. About 90% of the time, she starts on the first pull.
Now, there can't be too many of these in existence. I know you built one that was flown for demonstration at Kitty Hawk in 2003.
That was another group out of Wisconsin, the Hayes brothers. They're the ones that tried it at Kitty Hawk. We were going to try it after they did, but things just didn't work out. Nick couldn't get the airplane off the ground, but we finally flew it about 3 months later in Dayton.
So is your engine the only one of its type in existence at the moment?
As far as I know, mine is the only one running. I helped the guys in Chicago get theirs running, and they took off, and their plane went up a little bit too high and came back down on its tail. And the last I heard, they rebuilt it and put it in a museum. The Hayes brothers, as far as I know, have pretty much given up on this and sold their machine shop, I believe. That's what I heard. And there was another engine in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia. I don't know if he ever got it running or not.
And speaking of machine shops, that's your background, correct?
Yeah.
Your machine shop and an automotive guy?
Well, yeah. We do a lot of machining for bridges and construction companies. And I just, I helped Dad build engines. So, I kind of kept that part, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, the machine shop we do, we do defense work, too. We're a defense contractor.
So this engine will be demonstrated at Embry-Riddle University on Friday, October 17th, which I hope is today if we get this podcast aired today. Terry, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Oh, that's no problem.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. We've been speaking with Terry Hessler of Dayton, Ohio. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.